Hey there, you're listening to Take Note. This is a very special episode. We've got our man in the field. Adam is dialing in from Vermont.
Ted, I'm sitting in a car outside of my hotel room at a Best Western in Bennington, Vermont.
The cell service is spotty. You're making it happen. So let's get into it. You're going to find that this is we got kind of a theme going, but I'm going to let Adam kick it off, and he'll place us in time, but he's going to do so with a what do you got. So let me ask you, what do you got, Adam?
All right, Ted, I wrote this in my notebook this morning. Sitting in the Best Western, Bennington, Vermont at 8 a.m., a constant thumping from the room above us, which also woke me at 3 a.m., has led Wiley, my four-year-old, to ask whether there's a monster upstairs coming to eat us up. So, Ted, I am I'm here at this Best Western in Bennington, Vermont with my family because 8-9 months ago, we bought tickets to the Solid Sound Festival. That is Wilco's festival that they conduct every 2 years in North Adams, Massachusetts. So we're about 20 miles away from there. It's a 3-day festival. It's fantastic. And we are having a great time. And as we were driving to North Adams, Mass on a long road trip that's part of this vacation, I saw on the Solid Sound Instagram a panning shot of their merch table. And in that panning shot of the merch table, I saw Wilco times Field Notes. And I got very excited, Ted.
So in the panoply of merchandise, that little thing just jumped out at you and caught your eye on your in the microscopic image on your phone.
I mean, it's what I do, Ted. I obsess about these damn things, and yeah, here we are.
That's fantastic. So when you got to the festival, did you hunt them down?
Well, the first thing we did, because I'm a responsible dad, is I tried to take myself to see, try to take my kids to see the Story Pirates. I think there was just a problem with the Solid Sound app. But the Story Pirates, which is a kids' podcast, was scheduled supposedly for the opening moments of the festival, and they no-showed. So there were a number of dads with kids and some moms, but mostly Weird Wilco dads with kids standing around a courtyard asking each other where the Story Pirates were going to be. And I don't blame the Story Pirates because they entertained my children quite a bit today on the second day of the festival, but I do like to think that the storytelling children's podcast crew like got too hammered and missed their set.
It's a rock and roll lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I guess podcasters are probably the new new hard livers, like as the Tweedies of the world. The Jeff Tweedies enter their 50s. Someone's got to take their place, and it's going to be highly produced podcast makers. So if you've surmised, we thought, you know, Adam's in Wilco world. I'm listening to Jeff Tweedy's audiobook. Why not make this something of a Wilco-themed episode? So we're beaming in for a quick shot. And we really, you know, we wanted to tee it up by saying that Adam and I are big Wilco fans, and we have been for a long time. So this is actually, I mean, it's something we're both passionate about. And I think I've found that Wilco, and if you're not familiar with Wilco, they're a band that plays music.
That's accurate.
The lead singer's name is Jeff Tweedy. Adam probably knows the names of the rest of the members of the band. We don't need to recount those now, but they're great musicians. They tour a lot. Tweedy's kind of a witty guy in his onstage banter. They've put out a ton of albums, and I'd say they do right by their fans. Would you say that's accurate?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I've seen Wilco, I'm going to guess 20 times. They do right by their fans, and it was a very weird moment when really two of my like great loves, like Field Notes and Wilco, came together in this weird thing, and I happened to have bought tickets for this festival where I was going to be able to buy this box. I mean, it, it felt oddly momentous and a little too exciting for me. So I thought I would, I'll describe the field notes now.
Yeah,
I'll
walk
describe
through,
the box, well, and we'll post
walk
some pictures.
Through the experience of encountering them, because you're saying a box and you're saying field notes, but I'm not able to picture what you're talking about. So make sure you start from the beginning and go from there.
Sounds good. So at the festival, there are a few different kind of merch areas. And so the first thing that happened was we then started going through the different merch tables. The Oxford pennant area did not have the Wilco field notes. The Euclid record store record and book area did not have the field notes. And finally, I found the traditional merch table that had the field notes and was swarmed by what I can only describe as merch nerds, a subsection of Wilco nerds. Yeah, it was concerning. It looked like they could have sold all the field notes just with the people in front of me. But they did not. I noticed that a couple people in front of me in line were a Japanese record nerd couple, adorable. In addition to the merch they bought the Wilco Field Notes box set. I was excited about that. Then I got my hands on it, and the merch guy told me, this proved to be inaccurate, but it's in a tweet that I sent out, that each book was designed by a member of the band. So that's how I sent it out in a tweet. But actually, there are 6 books, one for each band member, and this is pretty impressive. Field Notes found a different graphic designer, big name graphic designers, to each design a different book for each member of the band. So Aaron Draplin designed the Jeff Tweedy book. John Gall, who is a book cover designer, designed the Mikael Jorgensen book. Michael Jorgensen. Oh, this is the part where I acknowledge that I don't know how to pronounce the names of the band members. Cody Hudson designed Glenn Cochee. Lauren Dickens designed Pat Sansone. Brett Stenson designed John Sturrett. And Lawrence Azarad designed Nels Klein's book. Each one looks completely different than the other. Wow. They're in a box that is same kind of box that the Field Notes Workshop Companion came in. And then there are a couple of great little clever Wilco Field Notes references. So on the top of the box, it says, "Remember to remember me, standing still in your past, floating fast like a hummingbird," which is from the sign from the song Hummingbird. But that "remember to remember me," I think, is an echo of Field Notes not writing it down, not to remember it now, but not to remember it later, but to remember it now, which I have just butchered.
That's fine. That's awesome, man. I mean, what a cool, something that you haven't heard it hyped up. You weren't hunting for it. You weren't going there to try and single-mindedly pursue it, but that it really sort of bubbled up for you.
Yeah, it was really quite cool.
But I mean, if you step back a little, I guess first question to you is if you recall any indicators and anything you've seen from Wilco that they were like aware of Field Notes.
Yeah. Generally. Jeff Tweedy's son, Spencer Tweedy, has a song that Field Notes used in the ad for their one of the leather covers that I think they did with Bellroy. So yeah, there has been a little bit of overlap in the past, but nothing major, and nothing to suggest. Like, one of the cool things about this is that I keep thinking about is like Field Notes and Wilco could have put out like a 3-pack that was barely anything, and instead like this is a huge endeavor. So a lot of people online through the tweet that I sent out have asked me to buy them a box, and I'll see what I can do for the folks that have asked. But what I keep saying is that there's no way that these boxes are only going to be sold at this festival. There's only 8,000 people at the festival, and what, maybe 10% of them at most would buy one of these boxes.
I don't know, Adam. It is a Wilco festival. The demographic is pretty keyed in.
Yeah, maybe. But this set of books, this is the first time I can think of them involving 6 different graphic designers. to each design a book. But this was a big endeavor, and they didn't just print 800, or I don't know. I doubt that they only printed 8,000 of these. Although, what do I know?
That's a fair point.
So I did just keep thinking after I bought this box how impressive it is that they decided to take a major undertaking for this band that's also from Chicago, like Field Notes.
Well, that's what I was going to mention the Chicago connection, and that's what sort of springs forth. It's funny that you had to go to North Adams, Massachusetts to find so many Chicago vibes when you'll be heading straight back to Chicago when it's done. That's pretty cool. I mean, I've been feeling Wilco pretty heavy in the last couple days, almost just randomly, in that I downloaded Jeff Tweedy's, I'm not going to call it an autobiography, his book, his memoir-ish book, which I can't even remember the name of.
It's called Let's Go So We Can Get Back.
Yeah, I was listening to it as I drove around town today. I turned it off, got out of the car, literally thought to myself, let's go so we can go back. That would be a good name for a book. And I thought, oh, wait, that's the name of the book I'm listening to on, which gives you a pretty good sense of my mind frame these days. But it's a really good book, which it didn't really need to be, but he's obviously his wittiness comes through in his writing, and his, I don't know, just hearing him talk about how he came into music and how he established a relationship with like playing guitar, and then how important the relationships around him are to this creative life that he's chosen. And then I'm just in the middle of a section on songwriting.
That songwriting section's great.
Oh, it's so good. He describes, you know, putting together the instrumentals and the melodies, and then kind of using placeholder language, and then sort of repeating that gibberish language until it starts to sound like something else, and then thinking to himself, oh, that's how I meant to do it from the very beginning. I just hadn't gotten there yet, and now that's what it is. Like, amazing creative stuff. And I think the creative lines that run through, that are running through that, and learning that about Wilco, and then thinking about what we do on this podcast of kind of feeling our own creative electricity buzzing through these notebooks, and then sharing them with each other and feeling that connection. I think that's why I'm excited about this Wilco themed episode, is because these are themes, and part of the fun of life is feeling different themes emerge, and then, as you've said, feeling them intersect, and, you know, knowing that Draplin, who's a guy whose creativity we've all really enjoyed tracking along with, and he's also someone who's really open with his creative process and wants people to be excited about creativity, and knowing that he's on, you know, involved in putting together.
You know, speaking of the way those things overlap, I was also one of the ways that it seemed to me that this was obvious that this should have happened is one of the ways these things overlap. Aaron Draplin has done the cover for John Hodgman's last book and his forthcoming book. And John Hodgman is always the host of the comedy tent at the festival, the comedy tent, which I will not be attending because I've brought two children to the festival. So there are these ways that that all of these things overlap. Also, on the subject of the book, we talked about the book a bit when I was reading it back on episode 33 of the podcast. Yep. So if you're interested in more talk, or potentially exactly the same talk about the book, I don't remember, listeners can check out episode 33.
Yeah. As I was listening, it passages were familiar, so I suspect you may have touched upon them when you discussed them.
I hit all the highlights, Ted.
I was excited about it, and 'cause you recommended it, and you were absolutely right. And because I have been listening to this audiobook, I've been getting more geeked up about Wilco and about Uncle Tupelo, his previous band. And I grabbed I went to the record store and grabbed a vinyl of A Ghost Is Born, which is one of Wilco's albums.
That is my favorite record of theirs.
Is there?
Yeah, as we were leaving the festival today, two songs into the closing set, did I mention that I brought my children with me? they opened with Hella's Chrome and then Muzzle Bees, both songs off A Ghost Is Born. And yep. It was killing me because my youngest was not ready to continue the festival experience, and they sounded great, and they were playing some of my favorite songs.
So your young child is not a middle-aged white male Wilco fan.
No, and when you're surrounded by Wilco dads, and you see them kind of, and I mean, I guess this is just every dad. I guess this is just parenting, but you see them trying to convince their children that they want, that their children want to do the things that the dad actually wants to do. You know, you're kind of like, I am not going to do that. I am not going to do that. Anyways, nope. Yeah.
My children will just inherently understand how important this is to me. And, oh, nope, sorry, we're going home. We're leaving.
Right. Right. I was able to talk my 9-year-old into just being cool, but the 4-year-old, you know. Yeah. All right.
Be cool, kid. Be cool.
Is there anything else we want to say about these notebooks? Are there questions you have that I can't answer, or anything that we think that our listeners might be interested in?
Well, what did the cover – give me a glimpse of a – paint me a mind picture of what the covers look like, and maybe if it's graph paper or –
yeah.
Dot grid or
it's
line.
A dot grid. There are no practical applications on the back. Instead, there's a list of band members and a list of artists. There is no edition size. And each of the covers is completely different. I mean, they're very, very different since they're each designed by a different designer. I'm colorblind, so before we recorded this episode, I had my wife confirm the colors for me. The Jeff Tweedy one is yellow. It kind of looks like a I'm blanking on the name, but the early six pack that they did for each of the Crops, the National Crops edition, looks a little bit like that. The John Gall designed Michael Jorgensen cover is I don't know, there's piano on it. It's pretty wild. It's great. Looks kind of like a John Gall book cover. The Nels Klein is designed by Lawrence Azarad, which is a name I'm familiar with, but not a name that I recognize as a designer. And it is the most, I don't know how you even say this, it is the most abstract of them, although they're all quite abstract. There's a green and blue one for John Sturrett, and it is very nature-y. There's pine cones. I think there's a doggy on the back. Pat Sansone's is red. And it's got, like, musical graphics, I would say, but not notes. How would you just say waves, like sound waves? And the Glenn Cochi one might be my favorite. It's two types of greens, I think, maybe two types of blues. Again, colorblind. And it's got drum instruments on it, all sorts of different percussion instruments. Looks very cool. They are awesome. All very, very different from one another. And they nice. Slip into a white slipcase box.
That is exciting stuff. What kind of paper?
What kind of lines? I don't know. Paper. Dot grid paper.
Dot grid.
Dot grid paper. And
fantastic.
Yep.
Very cool. That's exciting stuff. Let's see. Tell me. Let's close it with, by me asking you, what is it that you love about Wilco?
What do I love about Wilco? I don't know. I love every single one of their songs, and that's an exaggeration. But I don't know. I discovered Wilco when I think when Summer Teeth was out, and which is their third studio record, and it's one of those records, like Vampire Weekend's third record, where every single song seemed perfect on Summer Teeth. Yeah, I don't know. There's a sincerity in the music that's pretty impressive. What do you love about Wilco, Ted?
I also encountered Wilco at Summer Teeth, and what I remember is a friend, not a good friend, but a good friend of a good friend, burned a Wilco disc and a Sunvolt disc and on these gold, on these CD-ROMs that were gold, and he scribbled the names on with green marker. And so I played those two discs so hard that they were seared into my musical DNA. I think it was for a summer or for a whole year, and I would just had a long drive back and forth, and I would just hammer those two discs over and over, to the point where even sort of the storyline of who they were, not necessarily the real deep personal stuff, but I think the creative partnership between those two, and then feeling them split off and be these two separate but still somehow intertwined entities, really solidified this. It's kind of the position they hold. But I also love Tweedy's persona. I love his speaking voice, which is one reason I really love this audiobook. It's because it's Tweedy himself reading it, which is just endlessly charming, because I think he puts a little more personality into it than someone who was just reading it.
His, you know, you've referred to this, but his stage banter is just the best. Like, he should teach the class on stage banter.
When he holds back a little bit, but then he makes just the right comment. He doesn't overshare it. No, it's great. He's just, it's, I don't know. And I love his hat. I just bought it. He wears a Stetson Open Road on stage. I literally just bought a Stetson Open Road model cowboy hat.
You know, I thought I loved Wilco, but you are becoming Jeff Tweedy. It's a whole other thing.
But I think from a creative standpoint, their songwriting is, and I alluded to it in talking about how Tweedy creates his lyrics, but it defies anything super immediate. It's sort of abstract and open-ended enough that it doesn't force you to take a particular perspective. It's really kind of, it's music that is meant to pull your mind along rather than present you with a finished thought. And that comes through in his book too. But I think that's a part of their staying power, and a part of a reason you can listen to their music in a lot of different ways. You know, you can read it really closely, or you can just skip over a certain song, listen to it, but not give it much thought for years, and then maybe eventually you decide to pay attention with the words. I think it's a very, it reminds me of, you know, the way Herman Melville describes the whale in Moby Dick, you know, the whiteness of the whale. It's like you project your own stuff onto the whale, and I think Wilco is similar.
It's funny, because some of the songs are so precise in their lyrics, and some are so imprecise, and yet you're still able, and maybe this is just what everybody does with every rock band they love, but you're able to project yourself onto the songs, whether they're precise or whether they're imprecise. Like, one of my favorite songs, one of the ones that just gets me, is Nothing's Ever Gonna Stand in My Way Again. That's on Summer Teeth, and, you know, that's like that was a mantra for me at some point in my life, like... and that was for a very precise reason. Like, I knew nothing's ever going to stand in my way again. Like, that's precise. But then there's songs like Impossible Germany that I have no idea what that means, but it's also something I can put myself into and feel like I'm there for it.
Yeah.
All right, Ted.
Awesome stuff, buddy. Well, hey, finish strong on that trip. Sounds fantastic.
And you and I actually, we have tickets to see Wilco together in four months in October.
I forgot to mention that. So Adam is coming to Houston for a visit, and Wilco will be in town. So it's the perfect way to tie a ribbon on this conversation. Is we are looking forward to a fantastic show. I'll be bringing my children to the show, so we'll make it through at least three songs. No. Of course not. Why would I do such a ridiculous
thing? It's ridiculous. Don't do that.
No, but that's going to be great. So we'll report back. But I presume we're going to post some pictures of this box set.
I've got pictures. We'll post them with the episode. They're up on our Twitter already at Take Note Pod.
Yeah, check out our website at at wilco.takenote.space. No, that's a joke. It's takenote.space. It's not a, it doesn't sound like a website, but I promise you that it is. All right, Adam, we'll talk to you when you head back to the homestead.